With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. We're getting through the week together, y'all. It's funky. You know, you come, it's funky, not funny. I was going to say it's funny, but it's funky. Is there like a hybrid word of funny and funky? Fanunky? You come back after a holiday, and again, like I was saying last night, you're so relaxed, but at the same time, you got to hit the ground running. I'm kind of having trouble adjusting back to my busy life. So I hope y'all are getting through it. You know what's helping me? Green tea. I love coffee, but I think green tea is going to be my new jam. I don't know what that's going to mean. Like, the caffeine's a little bit lower, and I also feel a little sophisticated when I drink a green tea. Like, I'm not going to lie. I feel fancy. You know what I mean? That's like the bougie part of me. All right, we got an awesome show planned for you. We got Ryan Sheldon joining us later for our body positive segment. We're going to be talking about eating and how we relate to our bodies around the holidays, because it's a really powerful time when people struggle a lot. And our friends and family often think that's a time where they can kind of weigh in on how they think about how we look. And that can be really hard for your self-esteem. Also, because we're now doing our sex positive segment later in the show, we got Dominatrix Damiana Chi coming on, talking about the work. It's really powerful healing work, not only about the work, but also what kind of clients can really benefit from seeing a professional dominatrix. It's a world that few know a lot about. So we're going to break that on down. And of course, it's Tuesday night, so we're doing a little freak on the streets. But let's get into some news. I'm going to try to round it out with some positive news. I try. It's just these days there's so many bad things happening. So let's start with the bad, roll into the good. Fifth grade teacher gets fired. I know that sounds bad, but this is actually a good thing. So this little student, God bless him, he's in school, and they're asked what they're thankful for the holiday. And he says, I'm thankful that I'm finally going to be adopted by my two dads. That sounds great, right? You think everyone would clap. This poor child now has a family. Nope. Substitute teacher says, why on earth would you be happy about that? Goes into a 10-minute lecture to the entire class on how homosexuality is wrong and that two men living together is a sin. But three students go to the principal. Teacher gets escorted out while still arguing. Thankful whenever I hear a school system, a principal taking care of the children, right? Because this kind of toxic attitude is not really where school's not where this thing belongs, right? School's a place where we're heavily socialized and educated on norms and values and ethics, and we just can't have that going on. What's really funny to me, though, is that the teacher was brought in by an agency, has been fired, and says that she will never teach again at that school. I don't think they're going to ask you to come back. Okay. 46-year-old Kate Beckinsale, who I've been a huge fan of. I don't know what she's done recently, but I've always been a big fan of her work. So she recently was on holiday in Mexico. Mind her own business, posts pictures of herself in a bikini, and she posts them. Why? Well, why not, right? I post pictures of myself in different stages of dress because I'm just living my life. Ready for this one? People were slamming her because they said she's too old to be wearing a bikini. That hurts my soul. The work is about just authenticity, living your life, being confident. 46 is too old to wear a bikini. Look, we talked about this last week on the whole ageism segment. There was like two of them we did. So if you haven't checked it out, go on to wearechannelq.com where all the podcasts live and you can hear it. But we were just talking about the idea that we set these limits upon ourselves. Others do as well, right? Culturally, but we put them on ourselves as well. And we really limit ourselves based on our age. And what it does is it shames us. We internalize shame. I want everyone to wear whatever bathing suit they feel comfortable wearing. And if you want to post pictures of it, do so. So she basically said, I don't know you. This was one of her responses. And I don't know who's made you feel that if you get older, you have no value or that you can't be attractive or sexy or have a relationship with your body that isn't only self-loathing. But as one female to another, don't let any of that noise bother you. She says, if you're young and fearing getting older, don't. It's not at all how people scare you. It's not at all how people scare you to think it will be. And I can tell you that as I get older, I you know, again, I live in this culture. And even though I'm male identified, which a lot of people think that it's easier to age as a man. And in some respects, it is because we're often seen as getting better. But that's not always the case. And there are some people that shame aging. And so I've had to encounter and deal with that on my own. And the most powerful thing I could do is try to not not internalize it, and to make decisions based on what makes sense for me, not on these age limits and restrictions about what I'm too old for, because that's not even a real construct. Okay, pushing into some good news, there's a lot of things to celebrate. Queer Eye star Jonathan Van Ness, I've never seen the show, but it does well. People love the show. He's going to be the first non-female to grace Cosmo since Boy George in the 80s. I didn't know Boy George was on there, but that's amazing. Congrats to him. He's doing his thing. But more importantly, I love, again, that we're diversifying who we're putting on covers, especially a women's magazine. So wait for the pushback. I don't have any of those quotes yet, but y'all know that's coming. Y'all know people aren't just going to let that pass by without a commentary. But this guy's busting doors open left and right. So I'm thankful he's around and doing his thing. I'll have a story for y'all at some point about that one on my IG, but we'll circle back to that another time. 11-year-old ballerina cast as the first black lead in New York City's The Nutcracker. Again, a beautiful act of representation. People going to The Nutcracker and seeing a black ballerina, stunning. Let's see a picture of her. She's adorable. First black lead in The Nutcracker. Man, it took a long time, you know, but I'm happy that it's happening. So yeah, that's good stuff. And then finally, we'll close on out with this one before we get to our sex pause segment. PrEP might be available for free, even if you're uninsured. That is huge. That is huge. We'll be talking more about that, but just know that there's a lot of changes coming in that world. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to dominatrix Damiana Chi about the world of BDSM and its healing capacities. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Okay, we're back, and now it's time to do our sex positivity segment.
You got a fetish for my love.
So this segment's important because here at Loveline, we're always trying to normalize diverse, creative ways of being sexual, helping people find themselves, reduce shame, and also connect themselves to some maybe disconnected, unknown parts of themselves sexually. So tonight, we got Mistress Damiana Chi, professional dominatrix, BDSM sexologist, and femme dom educator. How's it going?
I'm very well tonight. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So I guess the first question I always jump into for this segment is, talk to us a little bit about what got you interested in doing this kind of work.
Well, my educational background is in psychology. I saw that you are a psychotherapist.
Yes.
I was trained as a psychotherapist, so I have a master's and a PhD in psychology. And so I got interested during graduate school. I became interested from a psychological standpoint. So I was reading about it. I wrote papers about it. And then after I started interviewing someone who was into it, I got interested in doing it that way.
And so give people that aren't familiar with the world of dominatrixing what that term means and what that would look like.
So dominatrix is a female dominant. In the world of BDSM, there are male dominants and female dominants. So I am a female dominant, and they call them dominatrix. It's called a dominatrix or a dominatrices if there's more than one. And so I see mostly male clients who come to me, and we do various S&ME type of things, you know. So there's a whole range of things. And so, you know, one of my missions, and I think yours is too, is to demystify debunk some of the stereotypes. The inaccurate stereotypes of BDSM.
Yeah, 100%. So. I mean, and that's kind of what this segment is. We started doing the segment just 2 weeks ago because I really wanted to make sure the show held space to normalize diverse and creative ways of being sexual and expressing gender and relationships so that people could find themselves or someone that was struggling with shame around something could be normalized, and also people could maybe let their minds wander. So tonight we're talking with Mistress Damiana Chi, and we're talking about her work as a dominatrix. So before we get to some of the myths, if people were considering doing the work you do, what would you say are the attributes one should look for? Like, who would be best for this kind of work?
Who would be best for it? So what, you know, what types of women?
Yes.
Are you saying?
Yes.
I do train dominatrices. I lead a workshop called the Dominatrix Archetype, and I do monthly workshops. I'm doing one this weekend. Actually, it's a 3-day workshop. It's really for anyone that wants to get in touch with their feminine power, or if they already feel that they have it, you know, you can come and develop it. It's really for anyone. And, I mean, it, there's no, the the door is open to anyone who's female identified. So that is who I teach.
And beautiful. Beautiful. And then as far as clients, because I know that a lot of people in my work, people that are sex therapists or sexologists, will refer people to DOMs of different kinds. If someone is listening, they're thinking, well, this might be someone I could work with therapeutically. How would you explain what the perfect client looks like?
Well, the perfect client would be someone who, you know, I mean, they could be someone who is very, you know, in touch with who he is, in touch with his fantasies, very, you know, self-accepting. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's someone who maybe is just exploring. Maybe this is someone who isn't all that accepting of himself, and maybe he might have guilt around it or something. So I'm happy to work with anyone along that line. I mean, there's no one that I close my door to unless someone is kind of, you know, like looking for sex or looking for, or is coming and he's just disrespectful or something like that. So my favorite clients are the ones who, you know, they're coming to me and they're acting very professional with me. Okay. They're booking an appointment. They're keeping their appointment, you know, very respectful.
So, and would that fall under one of the myths that people always assume it involves sex?
Yes. It doesn't involve sex. It's sexual, you know, it's erotic. It's all these things. It's emotional. There's bonding on an emotional level, spiritual level. And you know, the reason why it's important, the reason why it's very, you know, a lot of male clients come in is because, you know, like in my workshop, I teach that they are coming to unconsciously seek connection with the divine feminine and with an image of, you know, every man has an image of a dominant or a powerful female figure. Just put it like that, a powerful female figure in their fantasies. You know, like in childhood, it was teachers. Maybe it was your mother. You know.
I think what's powerful for me is just the recognition that, you know, our culture is so polarized with sex. It's like your friends or it's a purely sexual relationship. And you're kind of talking about all these other capacities and spaces that exist in the middle that are really powerful and healing for people. And so I love that, you know, people like you do that work and provide that. So what would you say are some of the other benefits? Because, you know, again, I want this time to be used just to really, again, normalize what this work looks like, because this comes up in my practice and even with people calling in on the radio and they just really don't understand what this work looks like. So what would you say the benefits are?
Well, the benefits are, you know, when a man sees a dominatrix, he gets in touch with, you know, when a man is out in the world, he's very dominant, right? So when he's able to be submissive in front of a dominant woman, he is able to get in touch with his own female energies. You know, just the female energy is, you know, to just be and be told what to do and just relax in that, right? It's a very carefree space to be in. So that is very healing in itself. Another healing aspect would be, you know, self-acceptance and feel accepted by another. You know, there might be fantasies that one feels ashamed to share with anybody, but, you know, with a professional dominatrix, I mean, most of us who have been around, we've heard it all, and it's very comfortable to speak with us about anything that is, you know, your wildest fantasies, right? It's very comforting to speak with someone and to be accepted for all of who you are.
Yeah, to walk around or to move through the world with shame about an element of your arousal or eroticism. It's, you just can't operate at your full level of self-esteem. And so to be able to go to someone and sit before them and share and express that and even maybe engage in some parts of it, talk about like a ubiquitous effect on just who they are out in the world. I love that. So before we go, what would you say are some of the other myths that are kind of bouncing around about the work you do?
Well, that we hurt people, you know. So yes, there could be some activities like flogging and spanking and paddling and caning, things like that, that are called, it's part of impact play. But it's not abuse, because this play is consensual. So BDSM is consensual play, and that is what differentiates, you know, this type of play from abuse.
Beautiful. So people that are interested in working with you, where can they find you?
I'm in Los Angeles. My domination website is damianachi.com. That's damianachi.com. I also have a website called bdsmsexologist.com. And I do counseling work, BDSM-centered counseling work there, you know, with that part of my work. And then I also have the workshop website, which is the dominatrixarchetype.com. And so women can come and sign up for the workshop on that website.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. You have an awesome, awesome night. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Very nice being here. Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we got Freak on the Streets, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And I just wanted to thank the caller who called in about Jonathan Van Ness correcting me. I used the wrong pronouns. Thank you for calling in. Always call in. Jonathan goes by they and them pronouns. I actually don't know anything about Jonathan, so I have no idea what this person's pronouns are. I'm always actually trying to not use them, so I can't believe I slipped. It's better just to use none until we know, and I didn't know. So always trying to be better, but thank you for calling in. It is important stuff, always. But now it's time for some Freak on the Streets. All right, what do we got tonight?
Hi, Dr. Chris. Do you have any suggestions for coping with performance anxiety while under prescribed pharmaceuticals? Specifically, I take Adderall, which seems to affect my performance sometimes. The effects on performance seem to be more mental than physiological, though. I get stressed out thinking about performing on par with my performance when I'm not under the effects of the stimulant.
Yeah, it's a good one. You look, the unfortunate side effect of most medications, especially antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds, is erectile struggles and disappointments. So I just always call that out. It's normative. It's expected. And the word is erectile disappointments because there's nothing wrong. It's just that it's not going to work the way you want it to work. Now, my answer is always very frustrating to people. And it's that it gives us an opportunity to not be so penis-centered, not to be so penetratively obsessed. Because that's really what the work is it helps you realize sex is more than just penetration and your penis. And so you have to utilize that. You know, what's sex about? Fun, pleasure, connection, intimacy, whatever it is. There's so many ways to achieve that. And so I always say to them, talk to your prescriber, whoever prescribed you medication. I'm hoping it's a psychiatrist. This person has a better understanding of what other options might be. Sometimes you can take a vacation from the medication, change the medication, use a lower dose, et cetera, et cetera. But for those that aren't able to do such a thing, yeah, use your finger, use your tongue, use toys, have sex in non-penetrative ways. When your penis is operating the ways you want your erections, use it. When it's not, don't. But the anxiety of thinking I have to and it needs to be there in the way I want it to be there is what reinforces the problem. So when you're trying to work on the mental aspect of performance, the work is about actually backing off of the obsession with your penis and penetration. It's called a paradoxical effect. By not utilizing it, it actually allows you to utilize it. The work is not about these like funky, wonky techniques and pushing through. But some people do choose to use erection rings. I can't say the other word. But the ring that you put around the base of your penis that will help keep blood in there because it's a blood flow issue. Your blood vessels and capillaries are constricted by certain things such as a stimulant, which Adderall is. And so a ring that you can buy, a penis ring, it's the other word, will keep hold blood in there. Also, just trying to amp up levels of arousal. Keep your head in the game. Think about things that turn you on. Sometimes we have to change the ways we have sex, right? If physically it's not working the way you want, you can push through that threshold psychologically by amping up arousal, by, having sex in more arousing ways. Also stay hydrated. But again, sex isn't just about your penis and penetration. And that's what we're reminded by in these moments. And so that's the work. Find other great ways to have sex with your partner and do penetration when you can. As we get older, we actually lose more of a capacity to do so. So it's work we all have to do. That's a good question. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. And then Ryan Sheldon will be joining us. Body positivity time, and then question of the night. So go in on that, our Loveline IG page. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Now it's time to slide into those DMs.
sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. All right, here we go. This one came in last night. Someone's basically sent me, it's a viral thing. It's going around. I see this often in some of these spiritual yoga-based IG pages. And basically the quote was, someone was saying this, when you have sex with another person, you exchange energies. If that person is carrying around guilt, shame, or trauma, you energetically absorb it. It's like going around and plugging your phone into random people's computers and downloading their files. If there are corrupt files in their system, you download them as well. Sex is sacred and should be treated as such. And the person said, I think this is judgmental, shaming nonsense. Talk about it. Yeah, it is. That is so sex negative and offensive. That's like that chewing gum thing that in horrible sex ed classes, they pass around gum. They're like, see that chewed up piece of gum? That's you after you have sex with someone. Who else would want your chewed up gum? That's you after you have sex. Look, when you have sex with someone, yes, you impact each other psychologically. That's correct. Meaning, after you have sex with someone, you walk away thinking, yeah, I trust people. Or yeah, sex is fun. Or yeah, I feel good about my body. Or yes, I'm desirable. Yeah, we're impacted. But no, you don't exchange energies where you're absorbing their trauma. I mean, if you did, you'd absorb it by sitting there having coffee with them too. Why is sex such an especially absorbed, transferable thing? What is hugging, handshaking, kissing, sitting, having coffee? We're not such open systems that we absorb people's trauma like that. You know, again, y'all, stop listening to people that have no clinical education, training, certifications, diplomas, supervision, clinical practice, theory. Like, this is ridiculous. And this is where I get frustrated by people that, you know, again, wing things. They take theories that make sense to them and they use these words in a vague grand narrative sense, like energy, you exchange energy. You're gonna have to explain what that even means. But yeah, that stuff is sex shaming nonsense. It's actually not true. Yes, we impact each other, but not in the way that they're talking about. And how you see sex will determine how you walk away from having had sex. And if you see it as a positive, nourishing force, then you're going to walk away feeling as such. And we need to. Even if you have sex with someone that's not necessarily the nicest, kindest person, you still walk away intact, right? Sex doesn't necessarily, quote unquote, scar us or leave us depleted, right? It is a renewable resource and something that should be celebrated. Yes, only have sex with the nice people, but crap like that is a mess. It's just sex-phobic stuff, y'all. It's like the no-fat people, the people that say you need to like save your energy and not masturbate or orgasm. That leads to higher rates of prostate cancer. We need to have sex and orgasm. Anywho, sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. Because we want you to be out there doing your thing and doing it safely. All right, coming up next, we got Ryan Sheldon joining us for our body positive segment. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And tonight, of course, it's Tuesday night. So we're with body acceptance advocate Ryan Sheldon. Oh yeah, we got sounds now. Right? Since you were last here, we upped our game.
I like it.
Well, it's lots of new things. We got a new intro. You got a new tagline, body acceptance advocate. I think that suits it.
Yeah, I think it sounds great.
It's well-rounded. It's
perfect.
So before we drop in anything serious, how's everything going?
Everything's going great.
Because so those that are, so Ryan just got me set up on Raya.
I did. he's super excited about that.
They just got back to me. Raya says, your application is currently on our wait list. Your friend pass is linked to your application. We will continually review and wait lift and send you notification if there are any changes to your application. Thank you, Ryan.
For making it should take like esteem. 3 days. 3 days.
Okay. All right. I will give them.
After that, like, it's a lost cause.
Why won't the wider world accept me? Why can't I be an elitist dater? How was your holiday? Because I know holidays, you ask that question, it's a loaded question no matter who you ask. Mm-hmm. How was your holiday?
Mine were good. How were yours?
Mine was loaded.
Loaded. Yeah, like you said, I think just like I was back east with the entire family. Super stressful. I actually had a modeling job the day before Thanksgiving, and then I took a train to Maryland from New York, and it was a lot of emotions going on because like being around family in general is really stressful.
What a juxtaposition though, going from your new solid, confident, where you want to be life, you're in New York City modeling, mm-hmm. and then you get on the train, you have to go back to your childhood where all the triggers
are. Oh, it's like traumatizing. It's right? Like you regress and you start I start to think I'm back in high school and I was that kid that was bullied so badly.
Yes.
I got homeschooled.
Wait, say more to that. So you got so bullied that you were homeschooled?
Yeah, I got bullied because of my sexuality and because of my size.
Oh man, double whammy.
Double whammy. And it's funny, it's ironic now because I look back on it and now I'm like, that's my job. being a model. And I think that it's interesting because it was like really, really hard struggling. And I kept a lot of it like a secret from my family. And because I was so embarrassed by that. I had no friends.
And that's the hard part, is that you do nothing wrong but live your life. You get bullied. The people that should be embarrassed are the bullies, but instead the person that's receiving it victimized is the one that's embarrassed of it.
Oh, and those so-called bullies that bullied me so badly, they would pour super glue in my hair. They did everything. Yeah, I know. It was bad. They're still living in our hometown, and they like have no job and are just pretty miserable. And
can I say something though? Let me just share something that's interesting. So these conversations are always really powerful. I was asked a couple years ago to be part of the Fringe Festival. Are any of you familiar with that? It's like an indie underground performance space event. So they were like, yo, Dr. Chris, we want you to do a spoken word. And they were like, it's about bullying. We want you to tell a story when you were bullied. And I remember I was like thinking really hard, and I was like, this is really hard. I'm like, I can't come up with anything at the time. And the person I was dating is like, because you're a bully.
Interesting.
Because you probably bullied. And I had to think back and I realized I was both. I've been bullied and I've been the bully. Because I've both put gum in people's hair and thrown donuts at people in the dining hall. Like white powder donuts that people wearing all black. Like, but then I also have been bullied because I was always like a little bit different. I was always the first one using drugs, the first one tattooed, first one wearing combat boots. So I was like a little punk rocker way before it was cool.
I think all of us are bullies, though, at some point in our lives. Like, I mean, I think that you could be, like, on one extreme. Like, I was never doing that, but I think that just, I've been a bully at one point, probably.
I appreciate you letting me off the hook. I think there were times where I went a little far, and I've learned to reel that back in.
Throwing donuts at somebody is...
I was struggling with my own way of like accepting myself and others.
Yeah.
It's such a hard time as an adolescent. And I kind of say that as a way to circle back to what you just said, which is like, I think we all can relate to bullying and being bullied, and it's really hard. And as adults, I think what we should do is relate to both components and try to raise children and be better.
Totally. I think it like even taking it a step further, you get bullied at high school, but then like, or school, but then when you get home, you get bullied potentially by your family without them even realizing that they're bullying you.
But. And that's why this topic is interesting. So if we're talking specifically about going home and holidays and the body, because we have a lot more holidays coming up to go home for, that's what we were talking about last week as well, before Thanksgiving, is, you know, how can we be aware of what we're walking into? How can we take care of ourselves while there? Because as you said, not everyone can take their confident adult self home to their early beginnings.
No, I had a conversation with my mom last week when I was home, and I love her, and she knows all my struggles, and she's very supportive. But she told me, she's like, if you're really concerned, just go on a diet. I was like, oh God, like, why are you still talking about
really?
That?
Really? She still says things like that to you.
A lot of people still say those type of things.
See, I would naively think that because your mom has tracked your career and she's seen that your body as it is now has actually become your asset and your strength, that she would support it, but she still struggles in diet culture. Wow. It's a life's work, huh?
Yeah. Everybody, I feel like a lot of my family does. I feel like they don't necessarily understand it, but maybe it's because that's like, I'm in it every single day and I live it, and that's what I do for part of my job. I think it's like, I'm hyper-focused on it and maybe hypersensitive to it as well.
So even with you working with with NADA, the Eating Disorders Organization, and even with you saying, hey, look here, I'm on the cover of a plus-size magazine only because of my current body, they're still like, yeah, well, if you have hangups, lose weight.
Yeah, and guess what? I wouldn't make money if I did, probably, because I would not be that model.
So fascinating.
Yeah.
So when we come back in our next segment, let's talk about kind of the tips to work through that or how to go home with a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because I think that this is something everyone can relate to, even if it's just because you're going home like myself as a vegan. All right. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right. Yo, we are channelq.com. You can win a trip for two to Vegas with airfare, hotel, and tickets. And guess what? You're going to meet Lizzo. Oh, that's right. We are channelq.com. You get to meet Lizzo. We're going to fly you there. Online only, so don't call. But I mean, that's badass. I want to do it just to meet Lizzo. Would you want to meet Lizzo?
I would love to meet Lizzo.
All right, we're back with Brian Sheldon, a body acceptance advocate for some body positivity.
What's wrong with being confident?
There is nothing wrong with being confident, especially if you Lizzo. So you'd meet her?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
What would you say to her?
I'd say, hey, queen. No,
there's not much else to say, right?
Yeah, I don't know what else I would say.
It's really those funky moments where it's just like, yo.
Or it's singing her song. I'm a thick.
She's got to be used to that. Just burn out on that. There's only so many cool things you can say to a celebrity that they haven't heard already.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to think about it, though.
Think about it hard. Yeah. You can tell us next
Maybe
time.
Maybe I'll win. I don't know.
Get in on it. So we were talking before the break about holidays and how not only are they triggering enough, but then when you go back to see family and the old you is there, not the new confident adult one, and we lose ourselves. So you were kind of agreeing with that for you when you go home.
Oh, 100%. Like I said, it's like you're regressing back to your childhood.
It's a funky moment. Even I have those moments where I'm like, wait a second, how is this me again?
Yeah.
Right? Like I thought I was beyond this. So we're talking specifically though about body acceptance and diet culture, and our family might not really understand what health is or what our journey is. How do you yourself personally deal with that? Because you said you go home and your family definitely puts it on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think for some backstory, I think because like I struggled with an eating disorder. I think that I used to use the holiday time as like an excuse for my eating disorder because everyone overeats during the holiday time. But for me, it was like the first time I could do it in public, binge in public, and it not be judged because everybody was doing it. But it was still very different because it was the mechanisms were very different
sure.
in my brain and not feel super guilty about it. So that's kind of some backstory. And I think that I'm going with the intention that I'm going to like enjoy my family, enjoy the meals, enjoy everything and not feel bad about it. And I also have a game plan. My therapist is on speed dial. I'm privileged. I have that, but yeah. It's also building your support group, like having your close friends that accept you and understand what you're going through and your challenges. Like I call my friends when I'm home and I'm like, I am struggling with this.
And that's important, right? Because you have to have friends, but you have to have friends that get it.
Oh, yeah. I have a big group of friends, I think, and a lot of them weren't understanding what I was going through. And I was talking to one of my close friends, and my friend was like, I think maybe you need new friends, Ryan. And I was like, interesting. Maybe you're right. Because they weren't understanding what I was going through.
Yeah. Well, because again, someone who's maybe like of a different body privilege isn't necessarily going to be able to relate to the specific nuances of that struggle.
Oh, 100%. Because they look at you and they're judging you also. They're like, why is this such a big issue for you? Why are you complaining? You look fine. I'm like, it has nothing to do about that.
Well, it's interesting is you quoted your mom in the last segment, how your mom's like, well, if you have a problem with it, just go on a diet, Ryan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. That is all right, old behavior, mom.
Let me go back to that time in my life.
So what would you say to someone who says, okay, I'm going to have the friends on speed dial, but I'm going to be entering a family where they're going to constantly be talking about my body or the foods I'm eating?
I think just like prepare, like knowing that you're going to enter that situation and that it's going to be stressful is like step one, right?
Yeah.
Like you just like acknowledging that and understanding that. And then I think going in with the expectation that that's probably going to happen if that's the way your family is.
Yeah.
And then I actually write myself positive affirmations and I carry them along. Like when I travel, I have them on my mirrors in my apartment because I forget about how fabulous I am sometimes. So it's like,
is that heartbreaking that we have to remind ourselves? Because it's rare to have access to someone saying that to us or other sources reminding us that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we forget that.
Oh, 100%.
It shouldn't be powerful. We should be so used to that that it shouldn't work, but it does because we're not.
Yeah, and I think from my experience, like just because I was bullied so much that it's just like a reminder. Like I wake up every morning and I go, you know, brush my teeth and I see, Ryan, you're a great person. Like things like that. It's just it's like really positive. I think also a huge thing is knowing your triggers, like knowing what is your trigger and avoid it. Like we were talking earlier, like if your family is your trigger and you don't want to go, then don't go. But if you have to go.
And that's always an interesting one, too, because this comes up with people around family members that drink or use drugs when they're sober. And they're saying, well, like, what do I do? I can't expect the whole house to not be drinking that day. And I'll say to them, well, you maybe set some boundaries. Like, I'll be there as long as you're not drinking. And once you all start to make it about drinking, then I exit. So I'll say, if you can afford it, stay at a hotel. Maybe don't even stay at home. Or have a friend, if you need to crash there, that they'll let you go over. If you need to get out, be prepared to take walks.
Totally. Another thing is when they start talking about your body, because in my experience, I have some of my family members will make comments on my body and I just either ignore them or I say, please don't talk about my body. Like it's okay to like stand up for yourself.
And it's a funky, awkward thing to sometimes say, like, please don't talk about my body, even if they're giving compliments.
Yeah. To be honest, I can't receive compliments about my body.
Why? Talk more, say more. Cause I understand what you're saying, but I want you to.
So it's a couple things. So I think that when somebody says you look great.
Yeah.
That makes me think, what did I not look great before?
Okay.
Number one. Like, so that's a huge one. Or yeah, you look so good. I didn't look good before. I start to spin in my own head. And also I think that like there's more things that you can compliment people on than their bodies.
Right. Because what I hear when people compliment me on my body is that's what we like about you. And so you need to make sure you maintain that because that's what we expect and want from you and prefer.
Totally. So
I feel trapped in it.
100%. My father, who I don't have a relationship with at all ever. He was never in my life. He commented on a picture of mine and he's like, I'm so proud of you. You look amazing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
idiotic thing to say. Like, you're proud of me because I look amazing in a photo. That just like really struck me.
But he's socialized to believe that. He's at the mercy as much as the rest. But it's good that people know how that impacts people and to not do that. Because my dad used to say that too. He would, whenever I'd see him, he would touch me, like touch my shoulders to see how muscular I am or I'm not. And be like, oh, I'm so glad to see you're still going to the gym. You look good. You look strong. And he thought that he was doing what he should do. He thought that he was doing what a father should do. And it was like, no, what you're doing is reinforcing that I better keep going to the gym because that means a lot to you and I'll let you down if I don't. And what will it mean if I come home and I haven't and I'm looking smaller? Like, will you then? And not be able to be proud of me.
Yeah.
So like it's such a, and that's why like I've said to a lot of people as well, like don't comment. Just don't comment. Because you never know if they're losing weight because they're sick. You never know if they're gaining weight and they wanted to lose weight. If they're losing weight, they wanted to gain weight. Like, let's just take it off the table, right?
Yeah. How about, it's like, it sounds like you're doing amazing. Like, what are you doing for work right now? Like,
are you happy?
Are you happy? Like, don't talk about relationships or my body.
I was just going to throw that in and say to Ryan, Ryan, you dating?
No.
So, Ryan, for those that want to follow you or also ask you out, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can slide in the DMs. It's at Real Ryan Sheldon.
Bam, we like it. All right, coming up next, we got our question of the night, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Now, tonight's topic of the night is our question of the night, and it's about people that are struggling in a job that they can't leave, but they want to figure out how to make it work. And look, that's most people in America. We were talking about how most people can't even pay their rent with the current job that they have. It's a tough time for many people, especially around the holidays. And that's where we see an increase in crime rate. People are trying to get all their needs met. They want to celebrate the holidays. They're not able to pay their bills as it is. And then they have even less money to spend on the holidays and they're feeling the pressure too. It's an unfortunate mess. This is where holidays also frustrate me because people feel a pressure to show up a certain way, to make it a certain way, and they actually overspend, and it's very stressful. So the topic was just, how do we survive a workplace environment, one that we can't really leave? I mean, the number one way is you have to find purpose there. Is there a higher purpose, and is that higher purpose meaningful enough? Look, I have many jobs, many balls in the air at all times, and it can come together to just be one big ball of stress. But commonality for me in all of them is that I get to use my platforms as a way to be a transformative force out in the culture, my activism, and that will always be the most powerful driving force. And so at times where I'm like, why am I doing all the things I'm doing or even specific things? That's why. And I can bring myself back to that, and that will always make it make sense. Now, I hope everyone can find that. And if not, is there a way to find that? Is there a way to change your orientation to your job? Is there a way to find a different role at your job? And for everyone, you have to remember, maybe it's not permanent for you and that this is just a phase, that your job is what allows you to do the things that have more meaning, right? You get to go home because of the job you have and have the time or the money to do the things that make sense to you. You also got to find people at work that you can connect with, because otherwise it's a very lonely, lonely, lonely place. So that was our question of the night. So let's see what you all said.
Question of the night.
There it is. Someone said, all right, so again, just so these answers make sense, the question was, what would you tell someone who's struggling at work that they can't quit? First one's a zinger, masturbate on the clock. That's right, y'all. If you're going to be on the clock, might as well get paid to do all your business. Is that what they're saying? All right. Someone else said, what will give? Your placement or your perception? That's right. Someone else said, start looking for other opportunities immediately. Yeah, it's always easier to get a job when you have one, right? Find one when you have one. So for someone who it's quite toxic for them, that might be what you got to do. Start finding something else. Someone else says, continue down the path. Can they see themselves being happy and fulfilled? That's the goal, right? Can you get to a place of fulfillment? Is it that you have to have a different perspective on the job that you have? You know, it's interesting. Some jobs are toxic and you got to go. And other ones are, you have to learn to be content with what you have because there's 35 people in line behind you that would love to have that opportunity to find the frustration and the stress because they're unemployed. Someone else said, I'd ask them to consider what their life would look like 5 to 10 years down the road if they continue down the path. That's powerful too, though. You know, someone else said, what other areas in life can you amplify? That's beautiful. Or ask what can help. I like that. What other areas can you amplify? Maybe it's about making changes in areas of your life outside of your career that thereby take the pressure off of your career being that center point of what brings you the most meaning and happiness. Because again, not everyone's career or job is going to be what gives them the most meaning in life or their happiness. It's just a necessary evil. Someone else said, strong self-care routine outside of work and boundaries. Yeah, that's a big one. Making your time outside of work really rooted in self-care and pleasure and fun, and also having work boundaries so that it doesn't necessarily overflow into those other self-care spaces. Someone else said, do what you need to do to take care of you. Set boundaries, don't stay late, and work at your own pace. That's beautiful. Sometimes we can just overwork ourselves, and that's part of the problem. So I like that, setting those boundaries. Someone said, speak up to the issues making you feel that way. Maybe you need vacation. I know I do. I know I do, too. Yeah, take a break. Take those vacation days. That's powerful. You feel recharging it back. Someone said, I empathize with you. You're not alone in this. That's what they'd say. Yeah. Try to speak up on some of the issues. Sometimes people are willing to hear the issues and try to make the changes they can. All right, y'all. Thanks for those that participated. Coming up next, sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, y'all. We're back. Bum, ba, da, bum, bum. We are channelq.com. You can check out all of our podcasts. Go back, share, re-listen, binge. You're going to want to do that during the holiday especially. And Lizzo, want to meet her? I mean, this blows my mind. You want to meet her? Well, we got you. We are channelq.com. Chance to win a trip for two to Vegas. We give you airfare, put you both up, give you tickets, and you get to meet Lizzo. Oh my God, y'all. So yeah, please take me. If you're a plus one, I'll be your plus two. We are channelq.com. Get those tickets. Seriously, I don't know how people aren't like flying on that thing. I'm all over it. Take me, please. But now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, this is a good one. Dear Dr. Chris, new to your show and I can't get enough. My boyfriend of a few years recently came out to me as bisexual and sexually fluid. So far, I'm the only person he knows, as he's dealing with a lot of internalized homophobia. I've assured him I love him. These conversations have helped me realize that I'm also bisexual, and we are in the early stages of discovering how to explore our sexuality together. The question is, what advice can you offer us as we embark on this journey? We've talked about exploring anal play, threesomes. My boyfriend's worried about having sexual experiences with men that they might lead him to discover he is more gay than he wants to admit. He's also concerned about feeling jealous if we introduce a third. First off, you guys are a great couple. I love the way I'm hearing you talk about your partner. It sounds like there's a lot of love, care, and support, and no judgment. And that's the first thing I always hope for, no judgment. Because again, when someone makes this disclosure to you about who they truly are, especially around something really anxiety-inducing, it's an act of care. And the answer should be thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me and us that you're telling me this. So that's awesome. Here's how you navigate it lovingly. Because you never know where this is going to take you, and you can't be afraid, and you got to be willing to do it. And that's what's happening. And so doing it together lovingly and supportively is all I can offer you. And that's what'll get you there. Be honest, keep communicating about what you're feeling, check in with each other. Don't be afraid, but just stay on the same page around all this, because you both have the same goal, loving each other and making sure each other's happy, because you don't know where this is going to land. Maybe he will have sex with a guy and realize that has more power, meaning for me than it does when I have sex with a woman, and he's going to have to go on that journey. And same thing might happen for you. But I would be cautious about having anxiety-inducing boundaries. I would root more of your behavior choices in what makes sense to each of you and what each of you feels like you need, and go after that than really trying to honor jealousy and will this make you realize you're more gay. Talk about what you both really want to try and explore and try to find a way to support each other in doing so, and just say, high five, we're in this together. We love each other. We'll see where it lands, and we got this, and we'll figure it out, because it's really an open-ended exploration, but necessary one. This is really beautiful. Definitely circle back though and let me know where y'all land with this, because I think this is powerful for all of us. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. All right, y'all, that's our show. We'll be back tomorrow night. We are channelq.com for all of our podcasts. Thanks for hanging out with me. And y'all have an awesome, awesome night.
Loveline with Dr. Chris, Channel Q.